You're listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Hey guys, it's Adam. This is The Conversation, wherever you are and whatever you are up to. I hope this finds you well today. If this is your first time, a huge welcome. If you've been with me on The Conversation for a while, a huge welcome back. Hey, today is part two of my time in conversation with New York Times bestselling author Annie F. Downs. Our conversation was so good that we ended up breaking it into two parts. In the second part, we talk a lot about leadership, how to make space for things like rest and being filled up. We talk about how to make sure our goals do not become our gods. And so again, we get super practical. Annie is so wise. She has so many awesome things to say. So that's coming up. Before we get to that today, though, I want to share lately on my Instagram, I've been asking people questions like, what do you want to know? What would you like to ask a pastor? If you don't follow me on Instagram, you can go find me, Adam A. Weber on Instagram. It's by far the place I'm most responsive. But again, lately I've just been asking, hey, what questions do you have? And one of the questions that's popped up several times is just people saying, how do I read the Bible? Like, where do I start? I'm new to this, or I've been following Jesus for a while, but I'm not really sure how to read the Bible. And so again, before we get to our conversation with Annie, I just want to respond to that question with a few very practical tips on where to start and how to read the Bible. The first tip is find a translation you can understand. So many of us have been given a Bible, or we have a Bible on our shelves and we've tried to read it several times, but we don't understand it. The Bible won't do us much good, by the way, if we don't understand what it's trying to say. And so if you're new to reading the Bible, or if you want to just kind of read it in a fresh way, maybe you've read all kinds of translations, but you just want a kind of a fresh take on the Bible, I would encourage the NLT, which is the New Living Translation, one of my favorite translations, or the Message Translation. Those are two great places to start. I read them personally on a regular basis. Right now, I'm personally reading the NIV, the New International Version of the Bible, which has been around for a while. So that's what I'm personally reading, but find a translation that you can understand. If you're looking for fine theology, or you're trying to answer specific questions, then maybe find a more literal translation, the ESV, the NRSV. But again, if you're just trying to genuinely read the Bible and fall more in love with Jesus, which is the point, I would encourage you to find a translation you can understand. That's one thing. Second tip, read a chapter a day. Don't go trying to read the entire Bible in one setting. Read a chapter a day. Today, I was so excited about what I was reading. I read two chapters, but again, read just one chapter a day. So often it's like, gosh, I don't really know what I should read. Sometimes I only read a few verses a day. So set a goal, one chapter a day. So that's the second tip. The third tip I have for you is the Bible Project. The Bible Project is videos that help explain what specific books of the Bible are all about. So I started reading Philippians. Just go to Google, search the Bible Project with the word Philippians, and there's going to be a video that's roughly 6, 7, 8 minutes long that you can click and watch that gives you the whole layout of the book of Philippians. It gives you the background, what's happening. It just helps you to understand what you're about to read. Or you can search the Bible Project, the Gospel of Mark, or the Gospel of John, or the Bible Project, 1 Samuel. And it'll give you a big picture about what you're about to dive into. So that's the third tip. The fourth tip is just pray. Just pray. Before you begin reading, just say, God, I'm new to the Bible, or God, I've read this chapter a whole bunch of times. Would you help me to hear what you want me to hear today? Would you help me to understand and take away just one thing that is helpful in my relationship with you? So those are four practical tips. Now, right now, I actually want to jump in and read just a few verses, because it's one thing to hear tips on how to read a Bible. It's another thing to actually hear someone or or watch someone read the Bible and what they take away. So I'm going to read. This is Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Here is what Paul says. And Paul, by the way, is writing these words from a Roman prison. He's writing this letter to his friends in the city of Philippi. And here is what Paul says in verse 12. He says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." And so that's just a few verses, right? And it's just like, okay, what's the takeaway from that? Well, what's the takeaway is Paul is saying, what has happened to me? Me being put in prison because of talking about Jesus has actually served to advance the gospel. Paul's saying, my hope is to tell people about Jesus, and this bad thing, this seemingly horrible thing, me being put in prison, has actually been used for good. Like, I was hoping to tell people about Jesus, and now it's happening even more. I'm telling more people about Christ, and also other followers of Jesus are becoming more bold, and they're sharing the gospel without fear as well, because they know that I am in chains because of Christ. Again, that's just a few verses, and yet this morning when I read them, it encouraged me so much. It's like, God, what are the things in my life that I see as horrible things? And they might be horrible things. What are the things in my life that are trials, that are hardships? Instead of just focusing on those things at face value, and it's just like terrible, horrible, horrible, God, what things are you wanting to use inside of me to advance the gospel? What hardships are you wanting to use in me for good? Would you change, God? Would you change my perspective and how I view trials and hardships in my life? Because those trials and hardships may be the very things that you used for good. And so I just wanted to share that again, just as an example of what it looks like to read the Bible and to take away different things. Again, find a translation you understand, one chapter a day, the Bible Project, and then pray and just begin to read and ask God to speak. And so again, I hope that encourages you today. Part 2 of my time with Annie F. Downs. I know you are about to be encouraged. As always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. When I'm connected with Jesus, a fruit of the Spirit in my life is fun. Like it just happens, and it's in the midst of life. It's in the midst of my schedule and to-do list and trials and hardships. When I'm walking with Jesus, there's a lightness. And you could say that's off of joy, but there's something there that it's like, no, I can still laugh. And sometimes in those hard times, you need to laugh just to take a break from crying. Like I think even to have fun and joy in the midst of pain and hardship is so important. So Annie, I got a staff question for you.
Meaning from your staff?
Yeah. So a staff person at Embrace said that Annie seems to always be so happy and smiling and laughing. So first off, I think one of maybe the hidden questions is that true of you in general? And then secondly, how do you bounce back on a hard day? Like when you don't wake up smiling, is there things that you've kind of put into your life that you're like, okay, I'm going to snap out of this. I'm going to turn around this day.
Yeah. I think, well, certainly my personality is a personality that is bent toward joy.
Yes.
I mean, that's just kind of the way God made me. So I'm a morning person. I wake up early and I don't drink coffee. You and I are talking in the morning and I just like wake up like this, Adam. It's probably why the Lord like hasn't brought my husband yet. He's like, they ain't ready. He ain't ready for somebody wakes up like this. So back half of his life, he'll be ready. I think part of it is, yes, this is my natural self to some degree. Also, life is really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't pretend about that. I think I'm better at communicating that in books than I am on social media. I'm not great at communicating that on my podcast because the story is not about me. It's about my guests. So if you had a hard morning, we're not knowing because you're asking me questions.
Yes.
Right. And the same is true on That Sounds Fun. The podcast is, it's not about me. And so you're not going to hear me often dig into my own bad day there. I'm probably not going to do that on social media very often. I might write about it, but I'm just better at processing sadness through my words than I, through my written words than I am through my spoken words. And the other real Adam is my job requires me to be a professional. And if a doctor has a bad day, that doesn't change. He has to do a surgery and it doesn't change that he has to save a life. And if a pastor is having a hard day, it doesn't change. He or she has to get up and preach on Sunday. I remember a couple of years ago, I landed in a city to teach at a women's conference. And when I turned my phone back on, my phone just exploded like it never had before. Just so many texts. And a friend of mine had died in Nashville. And I still had to get up and teach that morning or that night. So I started with I need y'all to know that there's a tragedy in my personal life. So I may be more teary than I normally am, but I am still here and I'm still doing my job. And I still believe everything I'm going to teach you is true. And so I have to be a professional on Instagram stories, even when I don't feel great. And so I think part of it is that. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. And before you kind of share how you bounce back from a rough day, I want to thank you because I feel like you do a good job of holding joy and pain together. I feel like you're a person who's willing to say, hey, it's not the perfect like life. I'm kind of tired. I'm ready to go just go be by myself now. And so I really thank you for that part in the midst of your seven, in the midst of your kind of natural bent to joy. And I would say I'm that type of person as well. I really appreciate when you share those little parts of like, hey, it's not perfect. I promise you.
Yeah. And I'll talk about bouncing back. But the other part of it is like, if you and Becky have a tough week, you can't get up and talk about that on Sunday because it's not just you. And there is never a time where my saddest days don't involve other people somehow. It's not fair to make a relationship thing or a private thing public because it's never just mine.
Yes.
Right? It's always shared. And so that's the other reason that holding joy and sadness, I can often, even I have this funny blister on my ankle and it's like, I mean, I haven't worn shoes with a heel in 2 weeks, Adam, 2 weeks. It is the worst blister I've ever gotten. I'm not telling the whole story of how that happened because it involves other people, right? But after a week, I started kind of saying, and so—
Now I'm so curious.
Oh, I like went on a walk in church shoes. It was stupid. It was dumb on my part. But it's just like the day after it happens, you don't want to talk about that because there was someone else involved. And I don't want them to feel bad that we went on a walk in my church shoes. And, you know, it is never siloed. My pain is never siloed. It always involves other people. And so I can talk about it a week later or a couple of weeks later or a year later in a book. So here's how you bounce back. Here's how I bounce back. I don't know how anybody else does. I can give you a perfect example that I had a less than stellar night last night. I had two plans. I picked the worst of the two plans. I thought I was making the right choice. I regretted it deeply. and by the time I got home, I was really sad. I was really sad. I was sad because I am very intentional about my time, especially when my job feels like it is so busy right now. I don't have a lot of free time. So to misuse my free time felt like a real, that felt really expensive, bad decision for me. So how do I bounce back? I went to sleep. And that was part of it is I think, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but the halt thing, are you hungry? Are you angry? Are you lonely? Are you tired? I got frustrated about something at work last week and I went, you know what? It's 3 o'clock and I haven't eaten lunch. Let me eat. And then I said to myself, I bet my feelings will calm down once I eat. Right. And so are you hungry? Are you angry? Are you lonely? Are you tired? And so for me, the way you bounce back is you feed yourself. You talk to someone, you deal with your anger, you get in relationship and you take a nap or go to bed for the night. I think we underestimate how much. And in fact, my Dr. Matthew Sleaf, do you know Dr. Sleaf?
One of my favorite people. I want to hang out with him. He's fantastic. We just did a series on trees because of Matthew Sleaf.
Thank you. Reinforcing Faith is an incredible book. So he has a new book out about suicide. And it's called Hope Always. I think you'd really enjoy it. But one of the things he talks about is sleep hygiene and how often the reason that we feel some things we feel so deeply is we're tired. And we're not getting good sleep. We're on our phones too late. We're on our phones too early. We are not getting enough hours. We're not prioritizing it. We're not listening to our bodies when our bodies say that we are tired. And so I think one of the tricks to bouncing back is to listen to your body and do what your body needs. And so for me last night, it needed sleep. I woke up this morning and got a smoothie. I don't normally do that. That's a little outside of my rhythms on the way to work. But you know what I said to myself, Adam, as I was getting ready this morning and I knew I was not all the way out of the sadness. And I don't know that you need to get all the way out of sadness, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I thought, I said to myself, what else do you need? Like I said it like a question that you ask a friend. What else do you need? What else do you want? You slept well, you're wearing, I wore a sweatshirt that's really comfortable. Like, what else do you need? And I was like, I would really like a smoothie. Okay, well, you can have that. You actually can have that. That is not outside. Now, if I'd have been like, I want to go to Paris, that's a problem. But there's a literal juice bar between my house and my office, and my house and my office are on the same street. So breezy, you know? And so I think it's asking yourself questions. I think it's being kind to yourself. It's treating yourself the way you treat a friend. And if you could help a friend get out of a funk, what would you do for yourself? What would you be willing to do for a friend? What are you willing to do for yourself?
This might solve most of the world's problems if we just did a better job of asking ourselves this question.
Okay, so right, what does Jesus say? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He did not say, love your neighbor as your pet, love your neighbor as you love your family, love your neighbor as you love your money, love your neighbor as you love your kids. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Treat your neighbor the way you treat yourself.
So good.
So can we reverse that and say, can you actually treat yourself as well as you treat your neighbor? Because if you will do that, you will treat your neighbor better and you will be following Jesus's commandments. I am yelling because I believe this so much. I'm sorry.
No, it's so good. It is so good. And it's so basic. And yet, gosh, how much does it change the way we love the people around us when we begin to actually love ourselves? That's so important. Annie, for the remainder of time, I want to talk just a couple of leadership questions. So I want you to kind of set aside the spiritual answers for a second. I feel unpastorish saying that. What would you say are three keys to your success that you've had? You've had so much success, and try to set aside humility for a second as well.
Sure.
If your best friend was next to you, what would they say as Annie's three key? Like these are the things that have set her apart.
Yeah. I think one is getting a team around you before you can afford to pay the team around you. Like, figure out a way to get the people around you who will help you build the thing you want to build, and the money will come. And so whether that is getting investors or taking out a loan or you, I mean, when my fourth book came out, Adam, I went and applied for a job at a parent teacher store, four books out, and I didn't have enough money to pay the assistant I wanted. And so I had my full-time job and went and applied for a job at a parent teacher store so that I could make the kind of money I needed to make to have the staff I wanted to have. And so I think it's really important that I think it starts small. You start with one. I had one employee. And then, you know what? If you live in a college town, there are all sorts of students who need internships. And so if you can figure out how to get interns to help you for a season, my first Sarah that you know that I
yes,
came with me
yes.
I think both times to
Sioux Falls, both times
Sarah started as an intern and I ended up being able to hire her. And so start small and start with one employee. You don't need to get five, but if you can dream up five and then figure out the order it goes in to get them there. But I think that really matters. That's one thing. Build a team and that you want before you have the team you can afford, right? And that will play out in a lot of different ways, but I'll let you wrestle that down in your own personal lives.
Yeah, that's so good. Do you have a second one?
Someone else needs to be seeing all the money that comes in and goes out of your company. If you want to be successful as a company, if you want to be successful as a person, I'm not sure what's going to happen to your companies or to your churches or to the thing you're building. But if you want to have high integrity, don't be the only person who knows what goes on with money in your company.
Wow.
Have a business manager, have a CPA, have a, and honestly, if we're talking personal lives, one of the ways I can get in trouble is no one else sees my personal money, Adam, because I'm not married yet. Right. So I have a business manager that doesn't have morality votes in my money, but he can see it all. So I know every time I spend money, every time I slide that debit card, I'm like, do I want him to see? Right. And he never calls me. He never makes a judgment on it. That is not his job, but it is good accountability for me. And so in leadership, if you want to be a good leader, keep your staff and your team will feel safe if they know that there is someone else besides you that knows what's going on financially in the company.
That's incredible and not at all what I expected you to say. For someone like myself, as a pastor, I legitimately have the ability to use a debit card and that is it. So like I have like no ability, even when people are like, hey, for asking for money to help us a situation, I'm like, I actually have no ability.
I'm not the guy.
I have no ability, even if I wanted to in this moment. But I to shift that away from just like a nonprofit type situation, that's something you would never, ever think about. And that takes a huge amount of humility to invite that when it's like, this is actually my money. Like, I don't need you in here.
Well, I'll tell you, and maybe it's humility. I don't tend to lean toward that because I've lived in my body every day. So I know myself. So I'm kind of a monster.
The truth is coming out.
But what it is I am very committed to the success of this company, as long as God would have that happen. And the only way we succeed is if there's high accountability in every area. And so we will fail if it's left to me. And honestly, I'm not different than you. I do not have access to all the money in our company. I mean, I could, I guess, but get a salary. I get a salary. I've had the same salary for about 4 years. I have what I need. I don't need raises. I'm fine. I'd rather us be able to do things. So I don't have like, here's the card that pulls from the account. I'm like, no, you get a salary like everybody else.
Yes.
So that really matters. Can I tell you one more third leadership thing? That this one is a little bit spiritual though. Sorry.
No, that's okay. We can go spiritual.
I'm not very good at business. It's not my natural bent. I grew up in a home of two strong business people, but I studied elementary education at University of Georgia. I was trying to be a teacher, and I was a teacher for 5 years and loved it.
Yes.
But a few years ago, and I won't take your time to tell you the whole story, but 10 years ago, in 2010, I had an experience where I was in a room full of business people, and I was, without question, Adam, the least smart person in the room. And not only did I know it, they all knew it too. I mean, everybody knew that I was the runt.
Yeah.
And 2 days in, it was a 5-day experience. And 2 days in, I was reading my Bible and I was looking for that scripture that says he uses the foolish people to, I was like, I need some hope. I need some hope. Tell me that remind me again about what you do with foolish people.
Yeah.
And in that same section of scripture, it talks about how we have the mind of Christ.
Oof.
And I had always thought, Adam, that having the mind of Christ was a purity thing and was a love thing and kind of was like makes you a good person kind of thing.
Yeah.
And on that day, the Holy Spirit reminded me to have the mind of Christ means that you can be incredibly creative, incredibly high integrity, organized, smart. Jesus knew how to build a thing. He built a thing. Right. And so I'll have you know that every day for a decade, I have asked for the mind of Christ when it comes to business.
Wow.
And so what you see being built is that I have turned my mind over and have said, I don't want to think what I think. I want to think what Jesus thinks about building a company. And that has cost me, and I've made some weird decisions because of it. And I've done a lot wrong because I'm Annie.
Yeah.
But I would encourage all of us that are trying to build churches or companies or families, we can have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is highly successful, high integrity, high creativity, high organization. You cannot lose if you're thinking like Jesus.
Oh, that is so good. Annie, last question I have for you. How do you keep a goal from becoming a god?
Right.
I bragged on you before we recorded. It's been so awesome to see you pursue this goal of New York Times bestseller. And I'm an Enneagram 3. So like goals and achieving things are like my soul's oxygen. How do you balance that with any goal? You can talk about any goal. Mm-hmm. How did you feel like you failed at points of making it a God instead of a goal? Like, just share all that.
Of course. I mean, I talk a lot about capital to myself, not like publicly, but yeah. In my own heart, I talk about capital I idols and lowercase I idols, where I have these moments where I go like, based on my response to this, this is a capital I idol. The Lord needs to tear this down big time. And the next time that thing comes around and it pings me, I go, well, there's still some idolatrous love in my heart, but that's a lowercase I. That is not the capital I. So I would say, yes, the way you keep, I mean, the problem with goal and God is the letters. If you put together the O, the A and the L of goal, it turns into a D and suddenly it's the same word, right? Like it's just too close. It's just too close. And so I think the reminder is that if you think you're climbing a mountain where you're going to get to the top, it is always a false summit. Because even that sounds fun, hitting New York Times, it's such a great goal. If I am living that, the next time I release a book and that sounds fun, hit number six, if I don't hit five or above, I failed. Well, that's not true.
Wow.
And so goals matter and goals are good. And we celebrate when we hit them and we reassess when we miss. But every success of a goal until we are on the other side of glory is a false summit. And so set them and go for them, but keep climbing, keep going, set the new one. If you stay, my fear is they become gods when they become that we think it's the top of the mountain. And it just, in my life, the goal has never been the top of the mountain because I always have to wake up tomorrow and do something else. You do a big interview, a fun interview. And like I had Matthew McConaughey on my show. Rad, so rad. I was nervous for days. I felt sick to my stomach the whole time. He was so kind. Afterwards, I couldn't eat lunch because I still felt sick. We're a week later. I still have to like do my laundry. And then your life continues. And if you're living for a goal, then it's a God and you're going to be disappointed pretty quick, I think.
Oh, no, that is so good. Annie, everything you've shared was just wisdom. I'm grateful for you. Grateful for the person you are, the pastor you are, the leader you are. Just grateful for so much. Again, the book is That Sounds Fun. We'll have a link in the show notes. Huge honor just to sit down with you and just to connect with you again.
Well, Adam, I'm so grateful. I love Embrace Church. I love you and your family. I'm just thankful for what you are doing. I love being on your team.
The Conversation with Adam Weber is produced by the Converge Podcast Network and proudly distributed on Faith Radio. Special thanks to these partners. For more information on this show, visit convergepodcast.com.